Many of us have heard this prayer of the psalmist in Psalm 19, verse 4. The psalmist in his prayers, he said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Here David is praying, asking God to have access and control to what we say. Asking God by way of saying, "Lord, are you pleased in what I am getting ready to say it? And how I am ready to say it in my dealings with you and towards other people?" When we think about this, we can only think of one word, which is honesty. Honesty toward God and honesty towards others. But in our thinking of this particular word, honesty is great. But edifying this honesty is even better. So what is needed here is a particular carefulness with words that is required. Because even if how true our words will be can either minister to us or it can mutilate. So it is important to consider our words, not just in what we say, but also in how we say it. The Bible is replete in its commands in how we edify one another. So as a starting point, before we go in any farther, I'd like us to, one, focus on a premise that, by way of saying, as much as God wants to do vertically with us, with you, with me, this vertical dealing with God is tied in also in what God wants to do horizontally with others. Let's remember that premise. So if there is a horizontal disconnect in this particular situation, there is also a disconnection. There is this vertical disconnect also in our dealing with God. So when God sees this problem in our connection with someone, or even within our family, horizontally, it limits God in what we want, in what He wants to do with you, and what He wants to do with me. The word which the Bible uses in terms of our Christian responsibility to build up one another and not to destroy one another, to construct, to develop, to enhance, to improve one another, and not to deconstruct it, is the word edification. So the Bible tells us that we are to edify one another. And it is repeated over and over and over again in the scripture about edifying one another. Paul speaks of this in Romans chapter 4, verse 19. He says that we are to build up one another. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26, he says we are to build up one another. Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11, he says we are to build up one another. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, he says, we are to edify one another. So the word is focused here, which is focused here, is the word edify, to build up, which is from the word edifice, a structure. Similarly, in a building, when we talk about an edifice, we talk about architects, engineers, builders, all the consultants, all the gamuts of this knowledge put together to create something. And when it is being done and fully constructed, from its planning conception right up to the completion of its construction, there you see, there stands the edifice before us. So when people come through our door, we are to find ourselves and challenged by the word that we are to build them up and not to destroy them. So the question that we have to wrestle with here is, how are we going to do this? How is it done? So the key in which, how is this going to occur in our dealings with one another, in God's family, in our congregation, is by what comes out of our mouth, as what we have read in the passage in Ephesians chapter 4. So tonight I'm going to really just concentrate on three particular points. I will try to be very succinct about it. And firstly, we are going to look at this particular word, edifying, the edification of our communication. Then we will look at how in our way of saying, the speaking of this communication, and how we are going to speak this truthfully and lovingly. And lastly, I would like to look at this, that this particular communication is as such a ministry that the Word of God is really teaching us this evening. So firstly, the first point, the edifying communication. If you can look at in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, Paul says there, "Let no corrupt words come out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." In some other translations, sometimes it says there that, "Let no unwholesome words that will come out of your mouth, but what is good only, for a moment, necessary for edification." Paul, in this particular verse, he ties in edification to communication. It is clear there. Let no corrupt words. Very direct and clear. Words relate to communication. You edify or not by what you say or how you say it. I know many of us have heard about the old sayings that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Is that true? We try to become superheroes sometimes, but yet when it comes to words, even how much we say that we are very hard and we are unbreakable, we are the Rocco, the Sylvester Stallone, and so strong. But when it comes to words, even how great a man is, he can be tackled down just because of mere words spoken against him. So when we think about this fact of lies, it's just not really on, isn't it? There are so many of us here tonight, so many of us that we know, who have been hurt by so many people, so many friends saying, "You are no good, you are not so good." Employer saying, "Maybe you're not good enough with your work. You need to really roll up your sleeves and improve so much of what you do." Or perhaps you might have heard about your parents, your own parents, sometimes, you know, can easily, without just even thinking about it, saying to their own children that they are not good enough and they can never be good. And I've heard this many times to some kids and some friends who have heard this uttered from their own parents themselves. What tragic it is when we heard about this. The reality is that words do matter, because words affect how you think. It affects how you feel, and ultimately in how you even act and react. What you say and how you say it, and even when what you say, affects whether or not you are building up or tearing down someone. In verse 32 in chapter 4, if you turn with me on that one, it says that we are to be kind and tender-hearted with one another. But his focus that he is really pointing at here is in verse 29. Paul is talking here that we are to build up one another. So important is this issue in the scripture that it reveals our speech, and our speech reveals our character. So if you are somewhat kind of a destructive person, or even just saying words that you don't even think about, and it will just come out of your mouth so destructively, you are in essence tearing down that other person in whom you are expected to build up. If you are constantly using profanity and constantly gossiping, slandering towards one another, it reveals that there is something wrong deep, deep inside you, because it has been revealed through your and my mouth. There is something wrong inside. And you cannot really keep it. It will come to the surface. What your heart is really keeping, your mouth speaks. The Bible is clear about that. So it has to come outside. And what you're doing is that you are destroying. You're not constructing. You're not building up. And you're not fulfilling then with what that premise that I have been speaking earlier in terms of our horizontal responsibility towards one another that God has expected us to do. And it will affect in what God wants to do in the vertical. And this is so sensitive because it involves our speech. And we're doing this every day. And it is something we do without us sometimes really thinking about it. And sometimes I, for one, is a victim of this. And I ask God to really forgive me, to really cleanse me, to really remind me always that inasmuch as I always try to remember and follow the word, sometimes it just goes into our thinking, but because of our own sinfulness in our hearts, we cannot really control it sometimes. So that's why we need the Holy Spirit's guidance to us, to teach us, so that we can really do this. It is explosive power for good, and explosive power also for bad. It is just like a dynamite. You know, our words is like dynamite. You can construct with a dynamite. You know, when you want to build infrastructure works, or you want to build underground, you deviate, you know, the underground rail sometimes, particularly in the past, wherein dynamite explosives are always being used. But now people are so concerned about that because of so many accidents and fatalities. People lose, you know, their hand and their limbs, and sometimes so many people die. Dynamite is being used. But also, we have to remember that dynamite is also a very deadly material. It can destruct. It can demolish. And that's why when we have our old building in the cities, in big cities of the world, they always use explosives to tear down this building so that they're able then to demolish it. So Paul is not only putting the similarity of words to a dynamite, that it can construct and at the same time it can also demolish. So why Paul is talking about this? Paul wants us to understand that when we speak, when we utter words, particularly when we think of the given responsibility that God has given us towards Him and towards other people, vertical and horizontal, Paul is saying to us that the main task of edifying one another is through our mouth. That's our job. That's our job's mouth. Our mouth's job, to build up. Your mouth is not just given to destroy someone, but God has intentionally given our mouth to build up, to construct. And we know what the end of that, because we are all made by God in His image, in His likeness, with a very purpose, one calling, to glorify and enjoy Him forever. My second point, how are we going to do this edification? Paul is talking about in Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse 15, wherein he says that we are to speak to our brothers and sisters. When we speak to our brothers and sisters, we are to speak with truth and love. We are to speak those words that carries truth and carries love, ensuring that these words that will go through the heart of this person, to the ears of the persons, will go through to him, just like you striking in a soccer ball. We all have seen, you know, these footy games wherein a player kicks and then you can see the two goals. So truth and love is equated, just like a goalpost. So truth, one post, and love, one post. So when you kick those words, it must go through into that two goalpost. It's the golden post that we have to consider. The truth and the love and the words must go through with that, right dead in the center. Truth and love is critical when we are going to think about this. Maybe you can think, I have observed someone and I just want to say him truthfully. But sometimes you may not think that when you speak, you're not speaking to him lovingly. But you just want to really bombard him with truth. So what would be the offset of that? This person will not be so, you know, taking what you say. Because though you are speaking to him truthfully, or her truthfully, but you are so harsh to him, to her. And we all have heard that, you know, from comments from young people to our kids. You know, when a father or a mom tells something to their kids and say, do this, do that, it's true. But yet they interpret it in a different way. It doesn't really get and sink into their thinking. Because to them, we are telling them unlovingly. Conversely also, on the other hand, we can see someone who is so focused on love. And so therefore, when they think and observe someone who is doing the wrong thing, but so scared in telling that someone about the truth, but they want to preserve love in saying this to that person, they will think, I have to really say it in a different way. I have to be really calm, I have to be so loving, and this, and that. But yet, are you doing good thing through that person? Though you are speaking to him or her lovingly, you are still not achieving anything, isn't it? Because you are approaching them in love, but no truth. So therefore, you are lying. Inasmuch as you want to build them up, because you want them to grow, and you want to really be kind to them, so tender and all that kind of thing, but you don't carry the truth, you just want love, doesn't mean that you are really building up that person. And so, if you really balance these two together, you really have to speak truthfully, and yet at the same time, lovingly. And this really challenges us all. And I can see this from the bottom of my heart. It challenges us all because we are not so good into this. We have a lot to learn in this particular area of our lives when we engage with people. So, when we think about this truth and love, when we speak of truth alone without love, then we can say that this is just a dead orthodoxy. It's truth. It's dead. At the same time, love and without truth, then it's just really an empty sentimentalism. Because you just want to feel what they feel and you don't want to hurt them. And you don't really carry the right truth alongside with that essential loving communication that is required. So that's why when you talk about building up, edifying each one, the Bible is challenging us tonight to consider these two things as what Paul is teaching us in this passage. It is critical that God is able to use our tongue in order for us to build up one another. In our Old Testament reading, in Job, in Proverbs 18, it says, life and death, in verse 21, life and death are in the power of the tongue. The question is, do you use your tongue? Do I use my tongue? Do I use my mouth to build up? Do I use it? Or do I use it to tear down, to demolish? So, the question put forward here before us tonight is, speaking of this, the job then of our communication, the jobs that our words has to come out from our mouth, is to speak these words according to the need of the moment, which is clear there. According to the need of the moment, that it will carry grace to someone who hears it. So when you're directing these words to someone, it must be on this. It will carry grace. And so this leads into my third point, that as we speak, as we utter words, I said earlier that speech is a ministry. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. It says here, "Let no corrupt words proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." So speech is a ministry in itself, because grace is to be ministered. We are going to minister this to these people that we are intending to build up. And this grace is a free gift. We have heard that being defined. Grace is an unmerited favor. And guess what? This person may not be deserving of what we say. It's unmerited. But if you give it in a way as a ministry of speech, you are building up that person. And when you are building up that person, we get then less reaction. We get then less challenges and no complaints, because he or she receives that word from us graciously. So we can avoid conflict, or we can really diminish conflict within our circles of family. We remove anger even with one another if we impart grace. And so that's why I said it is a great challenge for us all. It is very hard. And we need the grace of God through His Holy Spirit to teach us and constantly remind us of this very thing. Many of us who are carrying these baggages with past hurts in our lives, as what I've said, either from friends, families, workplaces, which have been turned down from ugly words which are not gracious. But in the passage of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, it commands us to speak only what is good, which is necessary at that time for edification, that it may impart grace to those who hears. Quickly turn with me to the book of James, James chapter 3. James chapter 3. And verse 6. James is saying there in verse 6, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. God forbid that we don't have hell in our mouth. God forbid it. And he goes on, "No one can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poisons. We bless it. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God." And verse 10, "Out of the same mouth, blessing and cursing, my brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yield both salt and water." That's a very, very heavy declaration, isn't it, from the Apostle Paul. With it, blessing and cursing. Fresh water and salt water coming out from one source at the same time. Does it so? No? Because a spring does not really come out salt water if it's fresh water. But yet, Paul is saying it can come out from the wellspring of our tongue, from our mouth. And that is a very shocking one and a very ironic description that Paul of the Epistle of James has really painted us here tonight. So, going back then to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 30. We can see there why. What would be the outcome if we keep on gossiping, we keep on slandering, and we keep on hurting one another? Paul continued on in saying that if we do this, or when we do this, we grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. That's why he is constantly reminding us and teaching us that in doing so, with the proper responsibility that we ought to really observe and maintain in our communication, graciously, as a ministry toward one another, we ought to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, and forgiving one another, just even as God in Christ forgave you. Can you imagine that God himself has forgiven us from our sins? That we should have been the recipient of this condemnation? That through our sinfulness, we deserve to die. But yet God is so gracious and so loving that he has made his Son to become sin for us, so that we might live. This is the greatest demonstration of this tenderness, of this love that God has bestowed upon us in Christ. Flipping to James. Sorry to keep flipping back and forth into this one, because this ties in, you know, with this whole context of our way of communication and what this means for us as God's people. James chapter 4, verse 11. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren, because he who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? Who are we to judge one another? So if you speak this malice, anger, not tender-hearted kind of speaking, or even daring to say and condemning one another, what is really Paul talking, what is James really talking about here, is we are acting like God. We replaced God because we are really wanting to really portray this by judging your brother and your sister. And Paul is asking us, who are we to judge? We have only one judge, except God, who is the judge. So this is a problem, isn't it? So that's why, when we think about this, we have to constantly wrestle with our own sins, constantly telling us that we really need God's guidance, His help to really be provided for us as we move on with our lives each day, because we can be the very subject of what is being spoken of here from the Scripture. And it is not impossible. Paul is saying here, these are all not impossible to do. We just have to be open. We just have to let God take control of our three-inch muscle inside our mouth. And when we allow God, when we ask God for His help to control this, then we can really surely attain, you know, this great command that Paul is really challenging us here tonight. When we are asked to build, to edify one another, so that then we can all move in one accord, fulfilling this great command that God has given to all of us as His people, so that we can glorify Him properly. So that's why I open up the book of Psalm, Psalm number 19, verse 14, chapter 19, verse 14. Because I believe that the psalmist, when he spoke about this, when he says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O God, my strength and my Redeemer," he acknowledges this carefully. That as he listens to God, that as he moves on with his life, as he rules, you know, his country in Israel, it is a hard task. But he needed God's grace, that God will be able to provide him with all the necessary help that he requires. May it be that this will be upon us tonight. And let's consider and reshape the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we conduct with others, within our friends, within our family, and within our various congregations. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much that you have preserved your word, that you have, Lord, made it all possible for us to maintain the axis of this word, challenging us more and more, that though we are living still in this dark world, we know also, O God, that you have won the victory. Christ is the victor. And so help us, O God. And so we give you thanks for all these things. In Jesus' name.